College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please. To John Rothstein, please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by our good friends at Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. And there were several, obviously, big storylines to talk about after the weekend that was in college basketball. But we start with the news that came down Sunday night. Kansas announcing that Udoka Azubuike will miss the remainder of the 18-19 season due to a torn ligament in his right hand. And, you know, there's an unwritten rule in college basketball. Under Bill Self, Kansas will win the Big 12 until another program takes that title away from Lawrence. But now after this news, things definitely got a whole lot more interesting when it came to the Big 12 and what everybody felt like was an inevitable conclusion. Because if healthy, Kansas was not seen entering this season as the team that would win its 15th consecutive Big 12 regular season title. It looked like the team that many people, including me, had selected as the favorite to win a national championship. Now, I will say this. Early on this season, I did see warts in Kansas. I did see inexperience in the backcourt. I did see a roster trying to sort its way out in the best way possible, and that wasn't always manifesting itself in early season games. And I think one thing you have to like, and I noticed this even though Kansas lost the game Saturday against Iowa State, who is an upstart in the Big 12, and we'll get to them in a minute. Last year, Kansas went to a Final Four by playing four guards around Udoka Azubuike. Devontae Graham, LeGerald Vick, Malik Newman, and Svi Mihailuk. The big difference, though, in that quartet versus this year's quartet, if Bill Self does opt to go small, which I think he will, around Udoka Azubuike, those four players last year, Graham, Newman, Vick, Mihailuk, shot 37.3% or better from three-point range. This year, when you look at Kansas's four guards that they, I think, will primarily play around Dedrick Lawson, Vick, Devon Dotson, freshman Quentin Grimes, and also sophomore Marcus Garrett, only Vick and Dotson are shooting better than 31.5% from three-point range. So you don't have a dominant low-post scorer in Azubuike, and you don't have the type of shooting that you had a year ago when you were able to go small. And another thing that Udoka Azubuike's injury does, it magnifies the loss of Silvio D'Souza, who is being held out indefinitely by Kansas after his association in the FBI probe. So now all of a sudden, if you're Chris Beard at Texas Tech, if you're Steve Prohm at Iowa State, if you're Jamie Dixon at TCU, all of a sudden, and Lon Kruger in Oklahoma should be included in this as well, you feel like you have a legitimate chance to end the streak. And that streak is Bill Self in Kansas winning 14 consecutive Big 12 regular season titles. So I think for Kansas, I would still pick them to win the Big 12 because Kansas has proven for 14 straight years under Bill Self that they're in a situation where until another program comes along, they are going to be the flagship program in that league. But the dynamic is interesting. And the storylines are going to be more and more interesting when this team loses a game, when this team struggles in a game. So a lot of interest right now, obviously, in Lawrence. The ceiling isn't as high, but I still think this team is good enough to win the Big 12. Now, the Big 12 is one of the best leagues in the country. What can we say about the ACC? I think, you know, America is starting to learn what to me has been obvious for a long time. The ACC still goes through Charlottesville. And it's starting to look, in my opinion, like the whole sport goes through Charlottesville as well. And I'm talking about Virginia. And if you are a basketball fan right now, if you are a sports fan, do yourself a favor and block out the 2 days this season where Duke and Virginia play during the regular season. 80 must-see minutes. Now, I know that a lot of people from the periphery are going to look at Duke, and obviously I know Duke's been number one in the AP poll for the last couple weeks. I have not voted Duke number one because right now I think Virginia is the best team in the country. And I know a lot of people are going to go to the crutch and talk about the fact that Virginia last year lost by 20 to UMBC and was the first one seed knocked out of the tournament by a 16. And I'm not making an excuse for Virginia in that basketball game, but I am going to point this out, and I brought it up with Tony Bennett when he was on this podcast earlier this season. The best pro prospect on Virginia did not play. DeAndre Hunter was not available. This Virginia team went 31-3 last year. They were a dominant team that won the ACC regular season, okay, by four games. And Duke had a team that had Trayvon Duval, Grayson Allen, Gary Trent Jr., Marvin Bagley, and Wendell Carter. And Virginia still won the ACC regular season title by four games ahead of the Blue Devils. I know they lost to UMBC, but I'm telling you this much. The team this year is better. Jerome and Guy are better. DeAndre Hunter's better. Jack Salt is one of the great glue guys in college basketball. Kihei Clark, the freshman point guard, adds another dimension. And to go with what we've always seen on defense, Virginia's offensive efficiency continues to be exceptionally impressive. And if we're going to talk about efficiency, we have to talk about what Michigan State is doing right now. Spartans went on the road on Saturday and scored 86 points at Ohio State without Josh Langford. This team may have less NBA prospects than it did a year ago when it had Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges, but to me, this could be a better college basketball team. Nobody is playing better at the point guard position in the sport than Cassius Winston right now, and Kyle Arntz, who stepped in admirably for Langford in this team's first two Big Ten games, okay, is an unsung presence in East Lansing. He made a big play late in December when Michigan State wanted Florida, and he gives them the type of depth where they can still win games without Josh Langford in the lineup. Now, I touched on Iowa State's win over Kansas in the top when we were talking about the Jayhawks, but to me, watching this Iowa State team is like the movie Back to the Future, because Steve Prohm's squad this year is very similar to the teams that Fred Hoiberg coached in Ames from 2012 to 2015. Great spacing, unbelievable ball movement, and they're doing it with transfers. Mariel Shayok looks like a completely different player at Iowa State than he did at Virginia. Michael Jacobson is giving them a lift. And a couple of newcomers, Tyrese Halliburton, Talen Horton Tucker, are really doing a good job at understanding when to attack and when to pull forward. This, to me, is a team, or when to pull back. This, to me, is a team, again, that has to feel like it is a dog in the Big 12 fight. Now, a team, when we're going to talk about great offense, and I was on hand for this in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, that can really just marvel you with their ability to explode, is St. John's. And the resolve of this team is something special. Because St. John's lost about as painful a game as you can lose in its Big East opener at Seton Hall. They came back, they beat Marquette by 20, and then they responded in overtime on the road at Georgetown with an unbelievable come from behind win. And how big is Tuesday's game for St. John's of Villanova? Since Jay Wright has been named head coach of Villanova in 2001, St. John's has never won an on-campus game at the Pavilion. And look, you can say what you want, obviously, about Shamari Ponds, but right now, in terms of what he's doing and the efficiency he's playing with, he is becoming more than a great scorer who makes bad shots. He's becoming an efficient basketball player, really eliciting comparisons of a young Nick Van Exel, something you really saw Saturday at Georgetown. St. John's 2-1 in the Big East. They'll play Villanova at the Pavilion on
Tuesday night. Again, St. John's has not won at the Pavilion since Jay Wright was named head coach of Villanova in 2001. The best team, though, in college basketball that nobody's talking about, the Houston Cougars. Now 15-0 on the season, and the head coach of Houston, Kelvin Sampson, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Houston has been one of the surprises and one of the teams that has really shined early in the 2018-19 college basketball season. The Cougars went to the round of 32 last year, nearly beat Michigan in the NCAA tournament. And the face of Houston's program is Kelvin Sampson, and the head coach of the Cougars joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And coach, what would your reaction have been, given the non-conference schedule that you put together, if somebody told you on the first day of practice that you'd be 15-0 right now in early January?
I would have probably thought we had some forfeits, weather problems, and they just gave us some wins, maybe. I don't know what I would have thought. I probably wouldn't have taken them serious. I didn't see that. Mainly because we have so many new guys. You know, losing Rob Gray and Devin and Nurazan and Wes Van Beck. You know, people talk about Rob and Devin, but Nurazan and Wes Van Beck were huge for us in so many different ways. Wes Van Beck may have been the best culture guy that I've had here in the 5 years, and losing him really hurt us, whether it be in practice, off the bench, in so many different areas. But, you know, Dejon Giroux, Bryson Gresham came in as sophomores, but technically they were freshmen because they haven't played since March of 2017. Then Nate Hinton, who was a true freshman. Fabian White broke his foot, had surgery at the end of June, and we didn't get him back till November 30th. So we've got a lot of obstacles, and that's why I didn't think that would be realistic. But, you know, senior leadership is it's so important in a basketball season and a basketball team, and we have great senior leadership on this team, John.
Now, one of the big differences this year versus last is you're playing games on campus. The brand new Fertitta Center opened. How big is it for this program and for you personally just to play games on campus versus playing away from campus as you did a year ago?
Well, I was telling somebody yesterday, we've won games in front of 500 people at Old Hoffines, 1,500. We won 19 consecutive games at somebody else's gym that we called home. And then when we started playing games at Fertitta Center, we opened with Oregon, and I think it was a packed house, unbelievable atmosphere. But I think most of those people came to see the Fertitta Center. And they realized we had a pretty good team. Then shortly thereafter, I think we went on the road and played Oklahoma State, came home and played LSU. LSU had a great crowd that night. So hard to say about the buy-in with us then. But on December 29th, John, we played NJIT. Brian Kennedy's our coach. He does a great job with that team, and they're a good team. They left us and I think went on the road and beat Duquesne after they played us. But we had almost a packed house for NJIT on December 29th, and it felt like home that night. So walking out for Tulsa, walking out for Memphis, you know, we feel like we're at home now, that we've got a great following. There's a tremendous buzz and excitement about our basketball team. And when you walk onto the court, like yesterday when we played Memphis, you could tell that big-time college basketball has come to the University of Houston.
Well, and you have a big-time team, and what's really apparent about your team watching them, Kelvin, is you have great balance. What is it like coaching a team this season with so much balance versus a team the past few with a dominant scorer like Rob Gray?
That's a good question. I think one of the areas that you have to be proficient in is roster management, attitude management, buy-in management. You know, we sell our kids on winning. You know, our starting lineup may not necessarily be our most talented lineup. It may not be our lineup we're even going to finish the game with. But the guys that come off that bench, Nate Hinton, Dejon Giroux, Bryson Gresham, Fabian White, Chris Harris, they know that they're going to play and they're going to contribute. And we just work with their attitudes in terms of winning. The unseen thing, though, for us, John, is our practices. You know, we go head-to-head every day in practice with Galen Robinson goes head-to-head with Dejon Giroux, Corey Davis with Landon Gosling, who's unbelievable in practice, a lot like Wes, Nate Hinton and Armani Brooks, Fabian White versus Sed Ali, Bryson Gresham versus Breon Brady. Sometimes we'll put 5 minutes on the clock, no fouls. Whoever has the most points in the 5 minutes wins. And those 5 minutes of basketball, I mean, that's hand-to-hand combat. I mean, they really get after it. So, you know, we're getting better in practice because we're able to play five-on-five, and that was tough to do here the first two or three years.
Well, you know, you speak about the depth, and it's interesting because I remember I was at a Notre Dame practice a couple years ago, and Mike Bray had a great quote. He said, depth is overrated in games, and it's underrated in practice. How have you managed that dynamic, considering some coaches will tell you if you play more than seven or eight guys, it's not great for chemistry, it's not great for role allocation?
That's a great quote by Mike. I never heard that, but I may steal it from him. That makes a lot of sense. You know, for years and years when I was at Oklahoma, we only played seven or eight guys. But since I've been to Houston, and I think this is my NBA influence over the course of 35 games or so, you're going to need depth. But you better be really careful about the character of the kids you bring in. I think that's critical. I think that's the key for us is that Dejon Giroux is a great, great young man. Nate Hinton is a tremendous, tremendous kid. They're unselfish. They realize that they're playing for something or playing in something that's bigger than themselves. And we talk about that a lot, that winning has to be more important than statistics. If you're a statistics guy and want to play 35 minutes and you only care about touches, shots, points, then this is not the place for you. And they hold each other accountable with that. That's why they're always ready to play when they come off the bench. And the guys that start when they go to the bench and come back, that rotation, when they come back in, they're ready to play. So, you know, I just think you got to have great kids for that to work. Selfish kids, immature kids won't work in a system like that.
Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cougars are 15-0, will play Temple this week in North Philadelphia, one of three remaining undefeated teams in college basketball. Rebounding is an effort situation. And I've been at, you know, hundreds of practices in all my years on this job, and Bob Huggins was great at teaching rebounding, and he taught all sorts of angles and things like that. And you've noticed, obviously, different coaches, you know, really preaching that aspect. But your team this year is as relentless a rebounding team as I've ever covered. For Kelvin Sampson, how does he instruct his players, even if they're undersized, to be so dominant in the rebounding category?
Well, angles are important, especially to eliminate fouls. Now, to me, that's the key that we teach is, you know, we're an outside shoulder team. You know, guys that go up the middle of the back and try to play nose guard football where you just push try to get depth just by pushing in. That's where you're going to get called for fouls. You know, we have a philosophy here with rebounding, John, where we say it takes two people to get an offensive rebound. It takes one person to tip it and keep it alive, and then the second person has to come in there and clean it up. So multiple people on the boards at the same time. You know, we keep a statistic on our bench called tips, and we try to get between 25 and 30 tips every game. And all a tip is when we shoot and miss, somebody's got to go touch it. Somebody's got to tip it. And then the second guy that's coming in, it may be from the three-point line, maybe from the nail, baseline, wherever. You've got to go make an extra effort to go get it. So, for instance, yesterday we had 27 tips. And so when we meet today with our team, we'll have an edit on all 27 tips. And then after the game's over, we have this little lid that we put over the rim called a bubble. If you're a guard and you get six defensive rebounds, you get to sign the bubble. If you're a big man and you get 10 rebounds, you get to sign the bubble. The thing I notice on our bench at the end of games is our kids are asking the assistant coaches, how many rebounds do I have? How many do I need to sign the bubble? And whoever signs the bubble the most at the end of the year gets to keep it. That's his forever.
Good to know, Coach. And two of the guys who are, you know, getting into those deflections and also contributing on the boards are two of the guys you've mentioned already in this interview, Nate Hinton and Dejon Giroux. I was watching your game against Memphis on Sunday night and watching how effortless it was for Nate Hinton to score. And I said to myself, there's not 20 or 25 freshmen in the country better than this kid. And I was watching Dejon Giroux and I said, he's finally getting his legs under him. How big is it for these two players to keep being vital pieces in reserve if Houston is going to be even exponentially better than it is right now in 2 months, and it's 15-0 right now?
You know, there's another statistic that we keep on the bench. Is I'm sure every coach keeps it, is deflections. And the two guys that have led us in deflection the last five games has been Giroux and Hinton. I mean, they're just so active with their hands, whether it's in pick and roll coverage with back pressure or getting to the middle of the lane and weak side. They get their hands on a lot of balls. But you can tell Nate's improvement. We allowed him to play extended minutes in games earlier this year where he didn't play well. But he needed to get comfortable. He needed to get his confidence. So we let him play through a ton of mistakes. And then Giroux's only played in eight games since March of 2017. Yesterday was his eighth game. He's still not there. You can tell it because he's playing better in practice than he is in games. And I think once he starts getting his complete confidence, like if we run a set, which I don't like to run a lot of sets when he's out there. He's more of a freedom guy. But, you know, when you want to direct the ball at somebody, he's still struggling in that area. He's getting to the rim pretty good, but he's not playing off a jump stop as much as he's playing off of 1 foot. You know, when you penetrate and get into the paint, you have to learn how to high jump. And he's right now he's still a broad jumper. But you know, Quanis White, one of our assistants, who was my point guard at Oklahoma, does a great job with our guards, just as Kellen does a great job with our wings and force and. So he's getting there, but being able to bring those two guys off the bench with their development, they still both have a long way to go. But we put a lot of we invest a lot of time in developing those kids every single day, and you can tell they're starting to get comfortable.
Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cougars 15-0 will play at Temple this week in North Philadelphia. Well, Kelvin, you coached the Final Four team in 2002. You went to an Elite Eight in 2003. You had a team that was good enough last year to go to a Final Four as well. Where does this team have the potential to rank among the best you've ever coached in college?
I don't know. I don't know, John. I think, we've always been able to focus on what's in front of us. Like, for instance, I always make my practice plans or my daily plan what we want to work on practice based on the previous game. So we sit down and we go through the film and we just make notes. I'll just swing my chair around and write on the whiteboard all the things I think that we've got to clean up and see if we can't get better in. I still have too many things I'm writing on the whiteboard to project this team. We still are making enough mistakes to occupy an entire practice. So just focus on today's practice, man, and see if we can't go play a really tough team on the road on Wednesday. That's about as far as I can go with this group.
Well, and you mentioned the team you're going to play on the road on Wednesday, and it's Temple, who had an unbelievable come-from-behind win over Wichita State on the road on Sunday. You've always been somebody who's had a great reverence for the game, and you're going to be facing a coach on Wednesday night in Fran Dunphy who's coaching in his final season at Temple. What is it going to be like for you to be making this trip and now going against somebody who's had great success in the sport for 30 years in the same city?
Well, in the American Athletic Conference, when I first got in the conference meetings was held down in Boca Raton, Florida, which stayed this nice resort hotel on the beach. And one of the, you have 2 days of meetings, and the last day they take you to play golf. And my golf partner was Fran. So he and I were on the same golf cart, and it was a hot day, long day. We just sat there and talked about life. both of the experiences we've had, just kind of getting to know each other. I'd known Fran, but I didn't know him. But after about 5 hours on the golf cart, and we had dinner together that night, he just became one of my favorite people. You know, he's the impact he has on young people's lives. I don't think can be overstated enough. I would love for my son to have gone to play for Fran Dunphy, and I think that's the greatest compliment you can pay a coach.
And for you personally, you're going back on the road on Wednesday in a league game, something you haven't done yet. What do you anticipate you'll learn from your team after the 40 minutes you play at Temple that you didn't know prior?
Well, when we set the schedule up, John, I wanted to make sure that we, because of how many new guys and young guys we had on this roster, that we played some tough road games. So we set up the game at BYU and at Oklahoma State. So we played two really good teams on the road. So I didn't want our first road game to be our first conference road game. I didn't want that for this team. So we played two tough teams on the road, so they've got an idea what it's like to play in a hostile environment, as both were those days. But this is different because it's the first conference game, and you can tell the attention to detail needs to be ratcheted up. The focus, being able to handle adversity, needs to be turned up. So I'm anxious to see how our new guys react. Galen Robinson, Corey Davis, Breon Brady, Armani Brooks, you know, those guys have been through a lot of battles. But this new group hasn't, and I'm interested to see how they'll do. And I think they'll do well. I think that, you know, we base everything on effort and toughness, rebound and defense, and as long as they do that, they'll be fine.
You know, and we've seen the American take a step here in the early portion of the season where the league looks deeper than it's been. It looks more formidable than it's been. And, you know, you look around the landscape of college basketball, even though we're about 10 weeks away from Selection Sunday, the Pac-12 is having a down year. The Atlantic 10 is having a down year. And that means that there's going to be extra bids to be had when we talk about the NCAA tournament. How big is it this year, considering the landscape of things, for the American to make a dent in the NCAA tournament picture?
You know, last year, John, I thought there was a demarcation line underneath Cincinnati, Houston, and Wichita State. I thought those were clearly the best three teams. Those three teams got to the tournament. Two out of three advanced. Two out of three probably could advance further. And I thought there was a gap between those three and the rest of the league. Now, this year, there is no demarcation line. I think the two teams that were picked to win the league before the season started, Central Florida, Cincinnati, until somebody proves different, I still think those are probably the two best teams right now. But, you know, Tulsa's gotten better. SMU has really gotten better. Look at what South Florida's done down there with Brian Gregory. You know, so the middle of the league has moved toward the front of the league, and then the bottom of the league has moved up. East Carolina has gotten better. I mentioned South Florida. It's just a tough league. You know, you look at what Nevada did going on the road the other night. I could go down the list with other schools. Once you start league play, Kansas at Iowa State, there's no such thing as a game that you can just sleep through. You better be ready to go to war. You come ready to play, it may not be enough. You better be ready to go to war, and that's what this is going to be like in this league this year.
Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cougars 15-0 will play at Temple Wednesday night in North Philadelphia. Well, you know, one of the things you hope to do if you're going to be in a situation to advance in the NCAA tournament is to get a quality seed. And Cincinnati set a precedent last year for your league by earning a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Considering how much every game means, is that a topic that you've broached with your team yet, considering that you're off to a 15-0 start?
No. The last topic I talked to my team about was Fabian White, can you guard anybody? I'm trying to find somebody on the team for Fabian Armani to guard. Now, I approached that topic with him a lot. As far as the big picture with the tournament and all that stuff, way, way, way too early for that stuff.
Well, then as we look forward in terms of, you know, the hopes of playing your best basketball in March, what are the biggest long-term keys for Houston to get back to the NCAA tournament with a chance to advance, given where you are right now and where you hope to be?
I just think we just need to, you know, it's like taking Jell-O and put it in the freezer and letting it harden. I just think we need a little more time in the refrigerator. You know, we're still so new. Everything is new to this team. The team is very excitable, but we're still making a ton of mistakes, John, and I just want to get all that stuff cleaned up because we can get better. You know, there's some teams that are bumping their head against the ceiling right now. I've had teams like that. But this team's not doing that, and it can get a lot better, and that's what our focus is on. You know, we had a nice win yesterday. We're going to go in the gym this afternoon and clean some things up. And if we clean those things up, then we'll get better just by eliminating some mistakes. And that's the thing about young guys. They've yet to understand that basketball is not a game of great plays or exciting plays. It's a game of eliminating mistakes. And that's where we are with this group, is getting them to eliminate some of their mistakes.
Well, Coach, been fun covering your team so far. Congratulations on the great start. Safe travels to Temple. Good luck the rest of the way, and look forward to staying connected the rest of the season.
Appreciate you having me on, John. Enjoy the next great meal you have. I'll be excited to hear about it.
You got it. That's Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson. This is the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'd like to thank Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. It is time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast. With John Rothstein. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now comes from Jason Hollins. John, what is Kansas' ceiling right now with Udoka Azubuike out the rest of the year? I don't see them winning number 15 and making it out of the first weekend. Look, Jason, as I told you earlier in the podcast, you don't bet against Bill Self in the Big 12, but Kansas right now has to reinvent itself. It has to be in a situation where it's probably going to play primarily small unless for some reason Silvio D'Souza comes back or Bill Self decides he wants to play Mitch Lightfoot more. You're going to see a lot of four around Dedrick Lawson, and now is the opportunity for a guy like Marcus Garrett to shine, for a guy like Quentin Grimes to take more of a role. And the same can be said for reserves, obviously KJ Lawson and Charlie Moore, but Kansas has the talent to reinvent itself this year. This is something we have to take into consideration. Our next question comes from Honcho Jackson. It's John. Do you think Mississippi State can compete with Auburn, Tennessee, and Kentucky in the SEC? Absolutely, but I'm curious to see what we're going to get out of the Bulldogs this week. Mississippi State goes on the road and plays at South Carolina, a team that's been very good defensively, had a big win at Florida over the weekend, and then they come home to play Ole Miss at Humphrey Coliseum. If Mississippi State is a player in the SEC, you win these two games. And our final question is going to come from Heart and Hustle. It's, John, do you think Cam Reddish is ever going to get out of a shooting slump and contribute at the level of Trey Jones, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett? Look, it's a long season, and, you know, coaches will tell you this. Freshmen hit walls. Freshmen go through funks. It's their first time going through in experience as a college basketball player. Cam Reddish, in my opinion, will get his shot right, and I think the big question is going to be, how does Duke adjust on the road? They're going to play, obviously, their first road game this week at Wake Forest. So that is my thoughts on Cam Reddish, and I think he'll turn things around. Now let's get to some Nuggets.
Five good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the door is open for Minnesota to gain separation in the Big Ten. The Gophers had that big win last week at Wisconsin, have three of their next four games at home, and the sole road game is at Illinois. Minnesota right now 2-1 in Big Ten play heading into this week's game at home against Maryland. Nugget number two, the epitome of ball security. Duke freshman point guard Trey Jones has only committed a total of 13 turnovers in 388 minutes played. That's one turnover every 29.8 minutes. Utterly ridiculous. ridiculous. Nugget number three, Shayok shining. Iowa State's Mariel Shayok is the only player in college basketball's top six leagues to average 20 points per game while shooting 50% from the field, 38% from three, and 85% from the line. Nugget number four, here come the Wolfpack. What a week ahead for Kevin Keats and NC State. NC State with back-to-back games this week in Raleigh against North Carolina and Pitt. They can continue to show they're an ACC player by holding serve at home. And nugget number five, Hoosier Faith. Indiana's three losses have come so far this season at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor, at Cameron Indoor Stadium, and at Bud Walton Arena against Arkansas. Indiana's also been banged up. You have to still like the long-term prognosis for Archie Miller's squad. Now let's get to games to watch, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Some of these we've talked about already. Tuesday, North Carolina at NC State. St. John's at Villanova. Again, the Red Storm have not won at the Pavilion since Jay Wright has been named head coach of the Wildcats in 2001. Purdue at Michigan State Wednesday. Houston at Temple. And then TCU at Kansas. The Jayhawks' first game without Udoka Azubuike. We'd like to thank Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.